This is Jay Sekulow. We've got an update on the Miriam Ibrahim case.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
She had her baby daughter Maya in a grubby prison in Khartoum. Now it's been revealed Miriam Ibrahim's humiliation was compounded by the authorities chaining her up whilst she gave birth. The grim details have been revealed by Miriam's husband Daniel. He is allowed to visit his family for just 20 minutes twice a week. Their older son, 20-month-old Martin, is also with his mother. She is said to remain defiant. The couple got married in 2011. Now their marriage is about fighting for Miriam's life and their children's future. According to Islamic law, Miriam can nurse her baby daughter for 2 years before the death sentence is carried out.
She was supposed to give birth outside the prison in a hospital, but the judge refused our request. I was afraid of complications during the birth, but thanks to the mercy of the Lord, she is now safe.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Any person, not even somebody who specializes in the law, but anyone who has read the details of this case can see that the sentence is unjust. My wife was not allowed to examine evidence or any of the contradictions in the statements from the witnesses.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Conflicting statements that came out this weekend on the situation with Miriam Ibrahim. An initial report published by the BBC indicated that she was going to be released and that the Sudanese were bowing down basically or buckling to international pressure. We monitored it all weekend and this morning have come to the conclusion, as has her lawyers, that that was an incorrect report. That the Undersecretary of Foreign Affairs said that the guarantee of religious freedom was protected and that they're going to respect this. But it was now apparent that, in fact, he was not authorized to speak. And as of right now, that death sentence is still imminent. She gave birth, as you know, to an American baby. She's still in prison. So what is critical, and people are saying this globally, is we need to now really increase the language and the discussion points on what's happening here with Miriam Ibrahim's case. Remember, she's a Christian Sudanese woman, a medical doctor, 27 years old, married to an American, gave birth to, she has a child, by the way, but gave birth to a child. That child is in the prison with her, both the newborn and her 20-month-old. They're American citizens and still in the prison with her. Our State Department's been pretty silent, to say the least. The international press, international governments have been speaking out. We need to do the same. We're taking your calls on this. And what about the plight of the persecuted church? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. You know, and this all comes on the weekend where we've got this prisoner swap that took place, which has raised a lot of questions also, including this whole situation where you've got the Taliban calling this a great victory for them. So we're taking your calls on all these issues, 1-800-684-3110. And what should our government do in urging the release of a Christian woman married to an American, children in the prison with her? How do we react to it? 1-800-684-3110. By the way, a huge thank you to our audience. We exceeded our goal for the month of May. We're in a matching challenge, a quick one there, a little one-week matching challenge. And we exceeded our goal and met our goal. We appreciate that very much. We are also getting ready and preparing for a series of debates and dialogue at Oxford University on the issue of the Middle East. And Christian persecution is an issue. It's going to be front and center. We'll be addressing that. So, again, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 on all these issues that may be of concern to you, including the plight of Miriam Ibrahim. By the way, we've heard from 307,566 of you in a little less than a week. We were on the IRS topic last week, but this week we want to go back to Miriam Ibrahim and get, we really need to get that support up to a level approaching 500,000. To do that, that's where you come in. I want you to be thinking about this. Two American children in a prison in Sudan because their mother's a Christian and the kids are in the jail with her. Let's get her released. 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Dan Bennett's going to be joining me after the break.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
So if you're just joining us, here's what we got. Over the weekend, there were reports coming out that Miriam Ibrahim, the Sudanese woman medical doctor who was in, is in prison, that she was going to be released, and she gave birth to a child. That child was born in the prison, which was not supposed to be the way it happened. And we also got a report that she was going to be released very shortly because of the Sudanese, quote, respect for international religious freedom. Apparently, that was not the case. And when it comes to this situation right now, that we've got a serious one, because those reports were all false. Stan, what are you hearing in Washington, D.C.? And I know right now we know that the reports were not true and that she is still facing 100 lashes and the death penalty.
Yeah, I think most people think that statement by the attorney, Jay, is the one to follow in this one, where he said, we will believe it when she's freed and she walks out of the prison. But I also think he was correct to point out, at least it shows that our campaign to free Miriam is rattling them, that we have to keep up the pressure. I mean, I think a couple of things are pretty clear here, Jay. Sudan is a rogue government, to say the least. So it's very difficult to believe anything that they say. So it's not a whole lot, you know, a great surprise that they're reversing course. But, Jay, I also think it's abundantly clear that we've got their attention. They're listening. We have rattled them. And now would be the worst time to, you know, to reduce our voice. We've got to continue speaking out. And I can tell you behind the scenes, if the president and the State Department are not prepared to lead on this, we have people on Capitol Hill ready to move forward.
All right. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But we also want to urge you to sign this petition for Miriam Ibrahim. We want to get this up to well over 500,000. To do that, go to aclj.org or beheardproject.com, beheardproject.com. And by the way, when you go to beheardproject.com, you're going to be joining with right now over 307,588 people. But we need to hear from everybody on this. So again, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org or beheardproject.com. Fan, let's go right to the phones. If you want to talk to us on air about any of these topics, including the prisoner swap issue, we'll be happy to talk to you at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, we're going to start with William calling from Georgia on line one. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, William.
Hey, Jay. How you guys? I got two things real quick. One about the Miriam Ibrahim case and another one about the swap out.
Yep.
The first thing about the Miriam Ibrahim thing is that when it comes to the State Department, I'm actually surprised neither one of those people out there haven't got fired from their job because apparently they're not doing their job at all.
Let me play for you a soundbite that discusses the State Department reaction here. This is a briefing between a CNN reporter and the State Department.
In terms of your policies on religious freedom, what are the consequences for a country that has the death penalty for a violation of religion?
Well, again, I don't want to speculate on that. You know how strongly we feel about religious freedom. We'll continue to press.
Well, I know
we're seeing
the
process.
Well, you say that you feel strongly about it, but I mean, what is the policy? I mean, are there sanctions that are applicable in terms of violation of human rights and specifically on the death penalty?
Obviously, there are a range of criteria that are looked to. In any case, I have nothing further to speculate on.
Would you say that that's being considered any type of punitive action?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So there you have it. The State Department says no action being considered against Sudan with two American children in a jail because their mother's in a jail. So let me say it again. You heard what the State Department said. Not that I'm aware of. No action to be taken. And these kids are Americans, and they're in that prison. Folks, we've got to fight back on this. Our Be Heard Project response has been great. Over 307,616 signatures with phone calls. I'm sure we're over 310,000. Go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. To sign on to these petitions, really critical as we work on this case. We are taking your calls. Again, we're talking about a variety of issues. Miriam Ibrahim, Saeed Abedini, the situation with the transfer of the swap of the prisoners, which has raised a whole host of legal issues. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Fan, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, we're going to go next to Wendy calling in from California on line 4. Wendy, you're on the air.
Hi, Wendy.
Good morning. I had a question.
Sure.
Why, if we gave them 5, didn't we get 5? Why couldn't we have added
Are you talking about in the swap for the sergeant?
And the 2 kids and 5 for 5.
Yeah, you know, because that was being handled by the Department of Defense, and this is handled – this doesn't sound like a good reason, but the swap for the sergeant that was held by the Taliban was handled by the Department of Defense. The situation with Miriam Ibrahim or Saeed Abedini is handled by the Secretary of State, the Department of the State. And believe me, there's unfortunately no communication going on between the two. And Than, that is part of the problem with all of this.
Yeah, and I think Wendy brings up a good point here in the juxtaposition here, Jay. I mean, we were willing to give up 5 of the very worst terrorists that exist in this world in exchange for Sergeant Bergdahl. Listen, you can like the deal, dislike the deal, whatever. It's great that he's home. But we released 5 very bad guys for him. And when you compare that, Jay, to what the State Department is willing to do for Saeed Abedini or Miriam Ibrahim, in the case of Saeed, they were not even willing to mention this when they had the Iranian regime across the table from them. And in the case of Miriam Ibrahim, they won't even acknowledge the citizenship of her children. So you want to compare the Bo Bergdahl situation with those two situations? You see a Department of Defense that is going after one of their own, and you see a State Department, Jay, that just simply is not.
Which is hard to believe, but folks, this is the reality we're dealing with. And this is too, and I go back to this point. You got two of these children are Americans. I mean, I want you to think about this for a moment, folks. The 2 kids are Americans. They are in a prison with their mother. Their mother's in the prison because she's a Christian, and she married a Christian, which they view as apostasy. Sudan signed all these international agreements, and our State Department says, I'm not aware of any punitive action being taken. Now, that in and of itself should send shockwaves through the entire government apparatus that we have, and I will tell you something. Again, this weekend we were getting some hopeful signs. We posted information as we got it. That proved not to be the case. The Sudanese either initially thought they were going to do it or they backed down. That's why, like the lawyer said, and we've been in contact with the lawyer, until she is released, you cannot assume anything has been resolved here. And I think that's the way we have to do it. Which brings up a point then. And by the way, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. What is the logical move here of the House of Representatives and the Senate?
Well, listen, I wish this had been the pushback to Jen Psaki's statement there when she said that we feel strongly about this. But there is something they can do, Jay. Humanitarian parole is something that is entirely in the State Department's purview. I mean, I'm reading the definition of it right here. Humanitarian parole can be approved by the State Department to bring someone who is otherwise inadmissible into the United States for a temporary period of time due to a compelling emergency. Jay, if this is not a compelling emergency, then then one does not exist. So the quickest way to remedy this would be through the State Department.
Right.
And if they're not going to do it, Jay, I can tell you there is a senator and a congressman right now that have readied the language to force their hand on this. You don't want to have to go that direction because the State Department should do it on their own, but they're prepared to do it if it's necessary.
Folks, I want to play for you from the – this is from the Foreign Office Minister for Africa from the United Kingdom. This is the UK's Foreign Office Minister who's in charge of Africa, Mark Simons. Listen to number nine.
Well, as soon as we heard that this appalling sentence, I issued a statement calling for two things. Firstly, demanding the immediate release of Meriam on human rights grounds. And secondly, confirming that in our view, this sentence was barbaric. Since then, we've called the Sudanese chargé d'affaires into the Foreign Office in London to explain to him the importance of the Sudanese government putting pressure on the Sudanese courts to release Meriam. We have also put pressure from our mission in Khartoum on the Sudanese government.
They're putting pressure on it. What is our State Department doing? Our State Department is saying no punitive action to be taken. And the UK, these are not UK citizens. These two kids are American citizens, as is the husband. Let's take another call before the break. And folks, by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Actually, we'll hold the calls and we'll get to them after the break here. But let me tell you this, folks. I mean, understand what's going on here. You've got a 27-year-old Christian woman medical doctor in Sudan. She's, married to an American. The American is also a dual national with South Sudan. She has a child. They have a child. That child is in the prison with the mother. The newborn baby is in the prison with the mother because the newborn baby was supposed to be allowed to be born in a hospital, at least a prison hospital. That's not what happened. Listen to number one, the husband through a translator.
She was supposed to give birth outside the prison in a hospital, but the judge refused our request. I was afraid of complications during the birth, but thanks to the mercy of the Lord, she is now safe.
Now listen to this one again. This is number two.
Any person, not even somebody who specializes in the law, but anyone who has read the details of this case can see that the sentence is unjust. My wife was not allowed to examine evidence or any of the contradictions in the statements from the witnesses.
So this is what's going on, and our State Department says, nothing punitive here. They don't even acknowledge that they're a citizen. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Sign on to this petition, which is growing rapidly, folks. We're just shy of... In fact, we're at 307,840. Help me get to 308,000 between now and the next break. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. That's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com to sign that petition for Miriam, or 1-877-989-2255. So it's BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're right now at, last count, I said we wanted to get to 308,000. We're 307,945. If you could go to aclj.org or beheardproject.com, you're going to really help us out there by signing on to this petition. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. There was a question on her citizenship, Miriam Ibrahim's and the husband's. Take a listen to the CNN. This is a CNS news reporter, conservative news service or cyber news service. Here's what they said, number 14.
Is Miriam Ibrahim's husband, Daniel Wani, a U.S. citizen? And is that 20-month-old boy in prison by virtue of being his son also a U.S. citizen?
Well, I don't have any more details on this than what the statement the White House put out. Typically, we don't confirm those type of details, but I'm happy to check and see
you,
if
you don't know
more
whether
sure.
That little boy in prison is a U.S. citizen?
I don't have any more details.
Okay, so Than, I mean, this is obviously not a hard issue. If the husband's a U.S. citizen, the kids are a U.S. citizen. It is that simple.
Yeah, this is not complicated. This is not a difficult question to answer. And, Jay, it's also critically important. I mean, when we grant citizenship to someone, it has to mean that you're one of us. No exceptions. It means that you're on our team. We are going to fight for you. And in this situation, Jay, and it's not the first time we've seen this, this State Department cares more about what the international community thinks about you than it does what we think about you, what the United States thinks about you. And, Jay, we just can't accept this. When you are a United States citizen, as are these two children, it has got to mean that the most powerful nation in the world is going to stand up and fight for you. And in this case, they just are not doing that.
Well, that's why we're fighting back, folks. The State Department's not, but the U.K. is. I mean, this is the irony of the whole thing here. Listen to what, again, this is the U.K.'s foreign minister to Africa, number 11.
We've done everything that we possibly can, putting pressure on the Sudanese government. I think the international outcry has to resonate in Khartoum, and certainly it does nothing for Sudan's international reputation, a reputation that needs to be rebuilt. They're holding a national dialogue, trying to engage with opposition parties to reboot their political system and their political process, and this could be a major positive first step to ensure that Meriam is released on humanitarian grounds and is allowed to have the religion that she chooses.
Why is this not coming out of the United States? Why are we having to rely on the UK to get this message out involving an American citizen? Three American citizens, actually. That's the irony in all of this. These are American citizens, and our State Department says we're not discussing any punitive measures. We're not in dialogue with the Sudanese on this. We continue to uphold religious freedom. But evidently we don't, because we wouldn't be doing this if we did. Again, aclj.org or beheardproject.com to sign the petition, or 1-877-989-2255. And we're going to the phones. Remember, we're here for another half hour, folks. So if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you do on SiriusXM, just go over to aclj.org. You can stream it there live. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Right back to the phones. We're going to Carol from New York on line two. Carol, you're on the air.
Well, hi. You guys are so great.
Thanks,
I just
Carol.
Finished my prayer time, and my big prayer has been that the truth would come out on all of these issues. And I feel like you are the champions of all my prayers, because
that.
As our country kind of goes down that circular whirlpool that we seem to be doing, the truth is coming out, and it's coming out through you guys. And I actually just called to send you some money along with my...
Well, we appreciate it. That's how we can do this broadcast on the air. So, Carol, I appreciate your prayers and appreciate your financial support. And what we're trying to do is, look, we give out the information. You know, as we're getting information, we're reviewing it, we're analyzing it, we're getting it out on Facebook, getting it out on Twitter, putting it up on our website. But things change, and as the information changes, we're changing with it, and we're trying to give you a full analysis. And the analysis is right now, to recap for everybody, there was a report this weekend, everybody was kind of breathing the sigh of relief that Miriam Ibrahim was going to be released because an assistant secretary out of Sudan said, we're going to respect religious freedom, she's going to be out. And while people were excited about that, we said, well, wait a minute, this is a conflicting report, because her lawyers who we're talking to are saying that's not true. And they will not see it, they won't believe it till they see it. So we kind of, you know, have sounded that alarm, and we're going to continue to sound that alarm, and I'm concerned that the State Department's not doing likewise. And that's one of the things I'm very concerned about. By the way, I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's television broadcast tonight on the legalities of the prison swap without congressional authority. How does that play into that? It's going to be a fascinating discussion tonight on Fox News on Hannity TV. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's try to get another call.
Yeah, we're going to go to Pam calling in from California on line three. Pam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Pam.
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about what, as an individual citizen, we can do besides signing the petitions. Yep. To send emails or letters or phone calls to the State Department about Miriam. I mean, I just find it appalling that they're not doing anything, and she is in my prayers every day.
Well, I mean, I'll let Van address that. I mean, the petitions that we organize are the most beneficial, but go ahead, Van.
Yeah, we really set these up to do that work for you. You can certainly call your member of Congress and the State Department as well, but when you sign this petition, here's what happens. We communicate that to the Hill for you. We also communicate it to the State Department, and here's where this becomes effective, Jay, because you know not everybody can understand the nuances of all of this. When the State Department says, we're not going to take punitive recourse against Sudan, well, listen, punitive recourse would be something like pulling back funding, which I think they should do, but we're not even asking for that in this case, Jay. We are just simply asking for a couple of things. First of all, acknowledge the citizenship of the two children here. Let's start there. And then there is something the State Department can do for Miriam personally. They could grant her humanitarian parole. So if you got the State Department on the line, you may or may not be able to have that conversation with them. We can have it with them, and we can also encourage members on the Hill, senators and congressmen, to have it as well. That is happening as we speak, and that's how we leverage your name on these petitions across the branches of government.
And that's why it's so important for you to participate in doing this. We appreciate that you have, Pam, but we do encourage others to do that as well. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking, obviously, your calls on this situation. Let me also say this, that the situation in our view, excuse me, is very, very serious. The Sudanese have a reputation, and it's not a good one when it comes to individual liberty, religious freedom, and religious rights. And that's why, Than, this weekend we were so concerned about these conflicting reports, because what those conflicting reports tend to do is drop everybody's pressure point. And, Than, I think that's what they were trying to do here. They got that information out, got quiet over the weekend, and maybe this goes away. That's what the Sudanese are thinking.
Yeah, they're a rogue regime, but Jay, we rattled them. I mean, we got their attention with the international outcry on this with the 300,000 people in our petitions. And so they put out a statement, Jay, to try to get everybody to back down. In fact, that was the first thing the attorney said. It's a statement to silence the international media. Jay, that can't happen. If Miriam is going to be free, it is only going to be because of the pressure of hundreds of thousands of people. We have to keep speaking out.
Well, let me say this. I'm happy to report that I asked that we get to 308,000 before the end of the broadcasters, this segment of the broadcast, and we're 308,173 and growing. We want to encourage you to become part of the team here. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. We're here for another 30 minutes live on SiriusXM and a number of other stations as well. But if not, just go over to ACLJ.org. You can list it there. Like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. By the way, I'm at 915,000 likes on Facebook right now, just 85,000 away from a million. I would like to see by mid-June, if this is possible, that my Facebook exceeds a million and the ACLJ's is on its way to 800,000. Because, folks, our goal was, remember, by the end of the year to get to 2 million. We could actually beat that time frame. So, again, thank you for liking us on Facebook and sharing us. If you want to sign that petition, it's 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or BeHeardProject.com or 877-989-2255. And thanks for helping us make our goal. Back with more in a moment.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, let me give you a recap of what's happened. Miriam Ebrahim is a 27-year-old Sudanese woman. She's a Christian. She's a medical doctor. She got married to a Christian from South Sudan who also happened to be an American citizen. The Khartoum government in Sudan did not recognize her marriage and said she was an apostate and she should be held in prison, which she was, for having intercourse, that's what they're saying, with an infidel. That's part of the charges to her Christian husband. She has a 20-month-old child named Martin. He's in the jail with her, and she just gave birth to a girl who's also in the jail with her. The two children, of course, are American citizens. Our American government is responding with, we don't even know what the citizenship would be, and we certainly are not taking punitive actions against the Sudanese. The English, on the other hand, the British, they're responding, as is the rest of the world. Stan, the UN has spoken out on this. The only one that's quiet again, inexplicably, Stan, is the United States State Department.
Right. We actually saw a very positive response out of the United Nations. And, Jay, that's not something we can say a whole lot when it comes to human rights issues. There was a group of rapporteurs, those are just human rights experts at the United Nations, that came out and made a very good statement on it. And I would just say quickly, that is why we engage the United Nations. We are going to explore every option for her release that is possible. But I have to tell you, it's sort of bittersweet when the United Nations comes out that much stronger on behalf of a U.S. citizen, two U.S. citizens, actually, yep. Than the United States. So we are going to keep pushing at every possible angle. But if our State Department, Jay, is not going to stand up for our own citizen, it's sort of hard to push the rest of the world when we are not leading that charge.
Let me play a soundbite for you. This is a question from a CNN reporter to the State Department. And I want you to listen to number six. Click carefully to the response.
What are the levers of pressure that the U.S. has here? I mean, the U.S. has given Sudan hundreds of millions of dollars over the last many years. Is there any consideration of withholding U.S. aid, considering all of your work on religious freedom and that the U.S. holds itself up as a moral authority on religious freedom?
Well, it's not just the United States. Obviously, a range of countries have put a significant amount of public pressure on in this case. I'm not aware of that option being considered, but we will continue to press through every channel we can.
Yeah, so they're talking about what other countries have done, but not what the United States has done, because the United States so far has done nothing, which just seems to be the pattern, unfortunately, in a lot of these cases. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's try to grab one in before the break here, Fan.
All right, let's go to Jeff calling from Georgia on line 4. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, sure. I'm just concerned that giving all these names to sign up might not be enough for this poor lady. I don't understand why the State Department hasn't gone in there and tried to extract her.
Because they're not going to go in and try to physically extract her, but why they have not utilized other diplomatic channels? And that's because this is where the petitions come in. There wasn't enough of an outcry, Than. I mean, that's pure and simple. This was not on the radar on the news.
Right. Well, first of all, the State Department should step to that podium and they should demand her release. They shouldn't be, soft about this. They have not done that. But as far as other avenues, Jeff, I agree with you. And I'm telling you, that is why we are readying the hill on this. This is the State Department's lead. But if they are not going to lead, I can tell you there is a bipartisan group who stands ready to force their hand on this. That is the next step if we have to take it.
Well, and I'll tell you something else on this, and it relates right to it, Jeff, and that is this fact, and I'm concerned about this. This idea that the State Department just lets everybody do the work for them, and then if the person gets out, Lord willing, they'll take the credit, which is fine. I could care less about the credit. But what we need to do is get some response from our government. I don't want to be playing bites from the United Kingdom all day when I could be playing bites from the United States. It's really that simple. Folks, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So I encourage you to we'll be taking your calls. What do you think the United States should do here? 800-684-3110. We're also talking about this prisoner swap, one American citizen for five Taliban held in Gitmo. What are your thoughts about that? 1-800-684-3110. If you want to sign the petition for Miriam, over 308,000 people have done just that at BeHeardProject.com, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com. And if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Hey, everybody, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm on Hannity tonight discussing the prisoner swap situation in Guantanamo Bay. And did the president, although a lot of people are, of course, glad the sergeant is home, by failing to notify Congress, which is part of a DOD authorization bill, that this swap was taking place, did he violate the law? And, Than, let me just digress to that for a moment. Here's the question. Under that law, and you're familiar with it, and the DOD directives that went out from it, how is it supposed to work?
Yeah, well, he violated, Jay. I mean, the way it's supposed to work, it's not complicated. It's not unclear. The law says that the president has the ability to engage in this kind of release, but he can only do so if he notifies Congress 30 days in advance. Jay, Congress found out about this through the press release notifying them of this deal. So not only was 30 days not met, they weren't notified at all. So you can like the deal, you can not like the deal, but he did not comply with the law when it came to closing this deal.
What did the president had to have done?
He would have had to notify Congress 30 days in advance of the five specific individuals he was going to release. And what that would have done, it would have let the members of the Intel Committee, the Department on Homeland Security, and the others with proper clearance to take a look at these guys and, you know, to sort of be a sounding board to know what five terrorists were being released back into the public. Instead, the president did that without any notification whatsoever.
So is it simply a notification requirement, or is it notice with consent?
It's just a notification requirement, but Jay, that would automatically engage a conversation, because I can tell you that if Congress is notified of these five individuals,
yeah,
there is going to be a conversation that's going to take place, and I can tell you there's at least a couple of those people that would have been notified that would have been trying to talk the president out of releasing these five.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable situation. Again, a lot of people glad the sergeant's home, and I understand that. But there's something else in the story we just don't quite know yet. I'm sure we're going to find that out. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take Beverly's call, Than.
Beverly, she's calling on line one from Idaho. Beverly, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things. I'm glad that Birdo is home. Sergeant Birdo is home. But secondly, I'm talking about the little kids in...
Yep.
The prison with their mom. If they're American citizens, would they not have, especially the 20-month-old, have a birth certificate? And with that birth certificate, is that not a legal document that our government or even the dad, Daniel, can take to the Sudanese government for proof that his child is an American citizen?
That's a great question. I will tell you, Sudan is not like Where are you calling from in Idaho, Beverly?
Caldwell, Idaho, just outside of Boise.
Okay, so you don't just go down to the post office in Sudan and say, here are my documents. I mean, it's not that simple. The United States has been very quiet on what this actually means. You know, it's another thing interesting that the State Department has said that they've heard from many, many Americans that they are deeply alarmed by Ibrahim's plight. We've conveyed these views to the government of Sudan. Well, thank you. I mean, we're conveying those to the government of Sudan, too, but you got to do more than convey information. And the question, of course, with the birth certificates would be whether they would trust them as real and then whether they would even view them in the first place.
Listen, this reminds me so much of Saeed Abedini's situation. When we asked the State Department about Saeed, they said, well, listen, Iran views him as an Iranian citizen, to which we said, what do we care? We view him as a United States citizen because we granted him citizenship. Therefore, we treat him as such. It's the same for these children, Jay. It really doesn't matter how Sudan views them. We grant the children of U.S. citizens citizenship. Therefore, they are citizens, and we should be coming to their aid. I'm just tired of our State Department deferring to a regime like Sudan to dictate our foreign policy, but it is happening time and time and time again.
You know, people need to understand the nature of the plight of Christians in predominantly Muslim governments, especially ones that have a radical nature to them, which the Sudanese certainly do, the Iranians. It's unbelievable. I mean, we don't understand the nature of what persecution really is until you look at it through the eyes of the persecuted church. We're right now preparing, there's a whole group of us, about 10 of us, to go over to the University of Oxford in England. And we're going to be discussing this whole issue of the Middle East and Northern Africa and what all this means to religious freedom and religious minorities. And this is a four-week discourse we're going to be engaged in, if you can imagine that, and we're looking at setting up a full center in Oxford to deal with nothing but these kind of issues out of the University of Oxford there in England. So be in prayer for us on this. It's a big project for us with a lot of moving parts, and we're trying to get our attention really focused around it. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're joining us late, I do want to say a huge thank you to our ACLJ members and friends. We were able to exceed our goal for the month of May. Our goal was, I think, $840,000. We almost hit $900,000 for the month on online giving. We really appreciate it. Could not do it without you. So I want to say from all of us, from me, from Jordan Fan, David French, the people you hear on this radio broadcast all the time, and all of our staff, thank you for helping us continue to march forward with these issues. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Bobby is on line two from Texas. Hi, Bobby. Bobby, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm trying to control my anger when I hear about this right here. Our State Department and our government is doing nothing about it while she's sitting there suffering, and children too, you know. I don't know what steps we have to take, what action we got to take to make this happen.
Well, let me first play for you, Bobby, and this is not going to make you feel any better, but I want to play it. I played it earlier in the broadcast, number eight, and this is the State Department being questioned by CNN and asking for what kind of action has been taken. But you got to listen to the dialogue here. This is what's so troubling about where we are on this.
In terms of your policies on religious freedom, what are the consequences for a country that has the death penalty for a violation of religion?
Well, again, I don't want to speculate on that. You know how strongly we feel about religious freedom. We'll continue to press.
Well, I know
we're
that you say that you feel strongly about it, but I mean, what is the policy? I mean, are there sanctions that are applicable in terms of violation of human rights and specifically on the death penalty?
Obviously, there are a range of criteria that are looked to. In any case, I have nothing further to speculate on.
Would you say that that's being considered any type of punitive action?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
I mean, you can't have it any clearer than that, then. Not that I'm aware of. And this is the State Department spokesperson. So if someone's going to be aware of it, it would probably be the State Department spokesperson on this topic.
Yeah, I really don't care how she feels, Jay. I want to know what she is doing. What are they acting? What are they going to do to bring these U.S. citizens and their mother home? And Jay, the United States angle on this could not be clearer. We're talking about three citizens, so the voice of the United States is going to be the most powerful factor in determining the outcome here. In this case, they step to the podium, and Jay, they won't even cross that basic threshold of acknowledging citizenship. So why would you expect Sudan to take them seriously. Because if they don't think that the United States government is taking it seriously, then they have no incentive to as well. I've got to tell you, it's troubling, and that's why we've gone to the Hill, Jay. If they continue this, they're going to have their hand forced.
Okay, let's talk about what we're going to do in the Hill here. By the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So please keep calling, folks. We're here for another segment. But then I want to be – I know we only got 2 minutes in this segment. But we're going to stay over next segment as well. But then let's lay out exactly – I think it's important for people to understand this because we've had three or four questions today. What else can we do? But let's talk about what exactly we're doing here. We've got right now, as I am going to hit the refresh button here, we're at 308,715. I'd love to get that up to 310,000 by the end of the broadcast today if possible. But 308,000 so far have signed on, which is a big start. There was that false statement that came out this weekend where, you know, looked like she was going to be freed. Everybody kind of drops their guard. That's what happens. We did not, because we've been through this many, many times. What is it exactly we're going to do here with these signature petitions?
There are three things, Jay. We have rolled out the first two of them already. You saw that Senators Blunt and Ayotte were engaged in dialogue with the State Department before this even hit the media, Jay. They were asking for Miriam to be granted asylum. So that was step one. Step two was a resolution that was introduced in the United States Senate calling for her release, calling for the State Department to take action. Now, the third step, I can't reveal who has drafted this right now, but this is actually the most forceful of the three steps. It would basically take this decision out of the State Department's hand. It would grant legislative asylum to Miriam and to her children, although they don't technically need asylum. That's a different issue. But
right.
It would bring them here. So basically, it would step in and it would pass a statute, pass a law, and put it on the president's desk for his signature, taking that decision out of the State Department. Jay, we really never should have had to get there. This is something
right.
that the State Department could have done. But I got to tell you, Republicans and Democrats are prepared to move forward. If you look at the resolution that is already out there, you are going to see the names of Senator Coons and Senator Menendez, not exactly conservative Republicans.
No, I'll tell you what this means, folks, is we have got a strategy in place that we're deploying right now as we speak on this broadcast. And the ACLJ generally, we're not just talking about it. We're taking action. That's where you come in. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com to sign on to that petition at 308,000 right now. Or 1-877-989-2255. So 877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. Either place. Again, a huge thank you to our donors who stood with us last month. We met our goal. Thank you for that. But if you want to talk to us on air, we're here for another segment live. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And sign that petition at BeHeardProject.com. And like us and share us on Facebook. That's critical. Do that as well. ACLJ has one. I have one. Jordan has one as well. Back with more in a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Yes, everyone. Let me recap again. So Miriam Ibrahim, we were talking about it week before last, is a Sudanese woman, Christian, a medical doctor in Sudan. She's in prison because she's a Christian. She has a child. That child's in prison with her. His name is Martin. She just gave birth. She's married, of course. Just gave birth. The daughter was born in prison while the mother was shackled. The father, the husband, is an American citizen, which means the kids are American citizens. And what's happening? By our State Department, they don't know of any direct action they're taking, but they've conveyed to Sudan that we've taken action. I mean, you realize what they're saying. When I read that quote, we've heard from many, many Americans that they are deeply alarmed by Ibrahim's plight. We've conveyed these views to the government of Sudan. So our State Department has simply said that, hey, by the way, there are 308,838 Americans that are really upset about this. That's not how diplomacy works. That's not how you get somebody out of jail in Sudan. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say, right now we're on 308,858. Help me get to 309,000. We're just 142 away. So if you go to beheardproject.com or aclj.org. Here's a former UN Sudan chief talking on Sky News. Number five.
Every time we deal with Sudan as if it is a normal country, what we are doing is we are encouraging these barbaric rulers to continue their oppression, not just in Darfur or in Nuba Mountains, but now spreading all over the country. And I think expressions of concern are just not enough. We need to isolate this country and we need to bring its rulers to justice.
This is the former Sudan UN chief. Let me say it again. This is the former UN Sudan chief. And he's saying what we're doing is what the United States is doing is not enough. You can't just call for action. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking action. You just heard from Than in the last segment of the broadcast. We're getting legislation ready on multiple fronts, asylum ready on multiple fronts. We're in conversations with the lawyers in Sudan. We're taking action. Unfortunately, the State Department doesn't appear to be. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next, Dan?
Yeah, back to the phones. We're going to go to Josephine from Pennsylvania on line one. Josephine, you're on the air.
Hi, Josephine.
Yes, hi. I'd like to comment for a minute concerning the woman in prison with her two children.
Yes, Miriam Ibrahim.
You asked me, the employees or whoever put her in prison made it for bad, but God made it for good because... And until I hear this woman say, I don't want my kids in prison with me, then I believe that this is what she wants. She wants her children in prison with her.
Now, Josephine, I want you to hear what you're saying. You think the mother wants their children to be born in prison. That's one thing. But the 20-month-old or 18-month-old Martin boy, American citizen, wants his mother, which is, of course, Miriam Ibrahim, her husband, Daniel, asked for her to be delivered in a hospital, even if it was a military hospital. Let me play it for you. This is number one. This is him translated. Listen to this, Josephine.
She was supposed to give birth outside the prison in a hospital, but the judge refused our request. I was afraid of complications during the birth, but thanks to the mercy of the Lord, she is now safe.
So, Josephine, I don't think you think that she is glad or wants her child in the hospital. I mean, in the prison with her.
So now she has her children. What mother would want their children someplace else?
Well, she's got a husband. I mean, she's got a husband. She doesn't want her kids in the prison with her. First of all, let me tell you something. I don't know. This isn't like a prison in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is in Sudan. The humanitarian parole request that's in is for her so the kids can get out as well. Our request, she was requesting it also. Go ahead, Than, explain what's happened here.
Yeah, she is actually the only one here who is not a U.S. citizen, Jay. So, I mean, the kids we could get here, it is actually her status that is the most complicated for the United States. That is why we have asked the State Department to issue a humanitarian parole, which can be used in compelling emergencies. And if being in a prison with a newborn and a 20-month-old is not a compelling emergency, then I don't think that one exists. So the State Department can say that they don't use this very often. That's probably a good thing. This is one of those situations where they should use it, and the benefit, Jay, would go to Miriam herself. So she would not be sending her children anywhere. She would be taking them with her, and she would be coming here to the United States to raise them safely.
Well, Than, you're absolutely right. So let's talk about what legislatively we're going to – I want people to understand what call to action we have here. So we've gotten right now – we're at 308,951 names on this petition. That's where we are right now. What are we going to do with those? Obviously, that's going to keep growing. We should get it up to 1 million in short order. But what are we going to do with this?
Okay, here's the situation. Those names are being shared with two people right now. First of all, the State Department, who is considering that humanitarian parole request that we just talked about. However, I understand the skepticism we're hearing from our callers because this State Department has been anything but stellar. So we are also talking about to the Hill about how to circumvent the State Department in this situation. And what we are preparing to do is craft a legislative asylum. This would be something that would be passed by both the House and the Senate. It would get bipartisan support. I'm convinced of it because we have Republicans and Democrats on record calling for this. If it passed both the House and the Senate, then it would be placed on the desk of the President of the United States. So, Jay, basically what it would amount to is you could not get away with this State Department spokesman, stepping to the podium and giving a non-answer. The situation would land squarely on the desk of the President of the United States, and it would be his call whether or not to sign that legislative asylum to grant these U.S. citizens passage to the United States as well as that of their mother.
Well, let me tell you this, folks. I want you to be in prayer for something. We've not talked about it publicly, but we're looking at right now implementing a program at I do work in the summer at University of Oxford. I've lectured there. I'm doing a program this summer that we're working on, and a number of us are. There'll be probably 10 lawyers from the ACLJ on the Middle East, the conflict. A lot of it's got to do with religious minorities and persecution, kind of the trends of what's going on. There will be in these debating formats. We're looking at setting up an Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy to really delve into the economic, political, and legal issues associated with this kind of targeted discrimination against religious minorities in the Middle East. And this is becoming a big focus of what we're doing here at the ACLJ. And to really get the expertise, we're going to start incorporating people from around the globe. We have offices around the globe. We're going to bring people in from around the globe to participate in these consortiums that will take place in the months and years ahead. It's a very important project of ours. Be in prayer for us as we're working through kind of the logistics and figuring out exactly where we want to go with this. I also want to encourage you to sign on to this petition. Right now we're at 308,974 urging the release of Miriam Ibrahim. And actually, we're 8 away from getting to 309,000. So let's get to 309,000 in the next few minutes here. Also, you can sign the petition at BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org, or you can simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, either one, or 1-877-989-2255. You need to sign up for our updates on these topics and these issues. Jordan does this on Twitter. I do it on Twitter as well, but you can also like our Facebook page. I'm approaching 915,000 likes on Facebook. I think the ACLJ's is almost 700,000. So we're getting close to 2 million. I mean, we're probably 400,000 away from 2 million. We want to get there. Your help is just hit like, and then you'll start getting the feeds. It's that simple. We want to encourage you to do that. So, again, BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. Visit that BeHeard site. Also, a huge thank you to our members. You helped us meet and exceed our goal for last month. Thank you for that. And I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's television broadcast tonight on the legal issues on the prisoner swap.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.